In 1944, Isaac Rabbi was awarded the highly esteemed Nobel Prize. After that, one of his friends asked him a question. How did you become a scientist? And he replied, every day after school, my mother would talk to me about the school day. But she wasn't interested about what I had learned that day, but she always used to inquire me with the following question. Did you ask a good question today? So asking a good question, Rabbi said, made me become a good scientist. Now, in this very text, everything is entailed in a wonderful conversation between an expert in law and Jesus Christ. And in this dialogue, there are a number of questions that have been posed. Very best, very good question. Actually, the best questions that a man can ask and try to find good answers. So these two questions are actually the following two. What we can do in order to inherit eternal life? And the second question is, what is written in the law? The first question refers to salvation, isn't it? But the second question is directed towards revelation. So, salvation and revelation are the most important things and the questions that leads us to salvation and understand the revelation. These questions are really valuable. Now, in this dialogue between Jesus Christ and the highly educated man, we can find that actually there are three things which are very clear. First is the identity of God. Both of them speak about God. Second, human need to love God. Third, human need to love his neighbor. But in this dialogue, there is one thing which actually is not clarified at all, at least from the expert's side. The thing which is not clear to him is actually the identity of the neighbor. Who is the neighbor? Jesus Christ has led that conversation to that point because he wants to show and actually change something in the into the life of this well-educated man. Actually, Jesus wants to extend the circle of his relationship as far as he can. What Jesus Christ is targeting in this discussion is that it is to break the borders of the circle for good. to tear down any barriers among people, to cancel everything that separates us. How can Jesus do that? Well, first of all, Jesus wants to dissolve these barriers between people, extending the circle of their relationship to the helpless. Lord Jesus tells to this lawyer a story. Therefore, the manner of Jesus Christ to change his circle of relationship so much is very soft. And Jesus is doing that with a lot of wisdom. What is the story? A man was followed one day by some thieves. He was beaten, robbed, and left almost dead on the ground. A religious man passed him by and avoided him. Another one passed as well. He also passed by, but on the other side. A third man went on that road too, saw him, stopped, took pity on him, bound up his wounds, took him to a private clinic, and paid for his treatment. Now, who is that person who is really loved? Who is the neighbor? Of course, the robbed person is the one who is loved in this story. He is the neighbor. Now, if the robbed one, the helpless one, is the neighbor, then it seems that Jesus Christ wants to extend the circle of our relationship to the people who are helpless, to those who cannot return the good from which they benefited, those poor, those without hope. This is the first target of Jesus Christ. The Jews used to have their own circle of relationship, but it was extended up to one point. Now, Jesus Christ wants to challenge the expert in the law to extend his circle of relationship to the helpless. How he could do that? How we could extend our own circle of relationship so that we might include the poor people? Well, in the story, or from the story, we understand three steps. First of all, in order to extend the circle of our relationship to the helpless, we need not to look at the appearances. It is likely that the first two people look at the appearances, although they were very religious, and said to themselves, "Oh, he's a dead man. I'm not going to touch him. I am a Jew." It's not good to look at the appearances. Second, in order to extend the circle of our relationship to those neglected people, then we have to be available to look at their real needs. And third, to be ready to spend what is necessary for them, because this is the best investment. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of this list of this my brothers, you did it to me. Gypsies in Romania have been despised because they dress, behave differently than we, Romanians. Their culture is different than our culture. Therefore, they were forced during the history, they were forced to climb up trees in order to be hunted like birds. They were deported in Siberia and killed by starvation. Why? Because nobody wanted to look at them. And everybody looked at their appearances and they didn't like them. But when you look at them carefully, you can discover really good values. For example, in our project to educate gypsy children, which were not encouraged to go to school, our missionaries began to take care of them, encourage them to go to school, and they even helped them to do their homeworks and mathematics and other disciplines. As a consequence of it, we were so happy to see that their grades became bigger and bigger. I mean, they got the secret and the taste of being well educated. One of the good fruits of this project is a young girl who hadn't had good grades at the school before this project, but after, she became one of the best in mathematics in her school. It's not right that they are stupid. They are less intelligent than we are. That's in the appearances. The reality is that they are like us. God knew that everybody is like us. Everybody has dignity. Everybody has a value. God loves everybody. That's why Jesus Christ, in a very soft manner, told the expert in law and is telling us tonight that we should extend the circle of our relationship to the helpless people. Not only that they are as intelligent as we are, but they are very responsible. For example, there was a man, a gypsy, who had headache, and he said, very serious illness. And he told Jesus Christ, "Dear Lord, if you will heal me, then I will give my heart to you and I will become a child of God." God loved him. God healed him. This case is a special one because this man is a king of the gypsies. And when he came to Jesus Christ, his life was totally changed by the power of God. Holy Spirit worked in his life and he changed spiritually and morally radically. Because he is the king of the gypsy community, one of the evangelical church, another one, not the one in which he is a member, in the Baptist church, they had very big problems. They began to fight with among them. There was quite really bad fights. He heard about that. He heard about that decision, the decision to split the church. He decided that it's the time to go in that church. He presented himself in front of the congregation. And he said something like that: "I heard that there are disputes among you. You are a church of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ doesn't like what you do. Therefore, you should not divided. You should not be divided. Have you understood me?" And all the congregation said, "Yes, sir." And even today, this church is united. Why? Because even the poorest people in the world, when they receive Jesus Christ, they become very responsible people. So here is the first part of the story that leads us to understand that the helpless people should not be outside of the circle of our relationship, but we should extend our circle to include them and love them. The second part of the story goes farther. The Christian philosopher Dallas Willard said one time that Jesus of Nazareth is the most intelligent person who ever lived on this earth. And I think he is right. Look at this story. Jesus Christ actually shifts the light of the reflector from the robed man and places it upon the Samaritan. He does not ask the expert in the law, who is the neighbor of the Samaritan? But his question is the following one. Which of these three proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? So this question, to this question, the answer is not other but one. Of course, the Samaritan. The expert in law, the Jewish highly educated man, recognized that the neighbor should be the Samaritan. Therefore, Lord Jesus made the law teacher to extend the circle of his love upon the Samaritan too, even if the Samaritans were considered, first of all, as having wrong beliefs. How can you have a relationship with somebody who has wrong beliefs in God? It's impossible. Second, as the Samaritans had mixed blood, they were not Jews. They were just pretending that they are faithful to the Lord, but their blood is not a Jewish blood. We can accept them. Therefore, consequently, they were not allowed to reach the courts of the temple among other Gentiles. Racism and ethnocentrism were at home in the Jewish society, but Jesus wanted to reform that society. He's the most important reformer that the world has had. He is the one who not only wanted to reform the human society, he wants to reform human's heart. In Romania, we have been taught to hold our breath when we pass by the gypsies and have no connection with them. Since they are not Romanians, they are not Christian, we shouldn't have any relationship with them. This happened in Romania and in my life, up to one moment when evangelicals, and I was part of this movement, understood that Lord Jesus actually loves them very much. In Revelation in chapter 5, verse 9, we can read the following words. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." Since God loves everybody, and God loves the poor people and those who are not part of the same ethnic group to which we belong, since God loves them, we should love them. And I had a nice experience In one Sunday morning, there was winter. The church building was packed with people. Most of them were gypsies. There were some Romanians and some Hungarians. But the building was so packed, and the doors of the church were open, and despite the fact that outside there was minus 10 Celsius degrees, there were many gypsy people staying outside to hear the gospel. I felt that in that morning, the power of Holy Spirit coming upon us. And at the end of my sermon, I felt that God is guiding me to ask the gypsies to come to Jesus Christ, the one who died for everybody, the one who died even for them. I hadn't realized before that wonderful experience that they are able to love God with all their hearts and in a big number. So I thought that maybe 10, maybe 15 of them will come to Jesus Christ. But when I asked them, who wants to follow Jesus and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we began to count and began to baptize 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 70, more than 70 people came to Jesus Christ in one Sunday morning. Isn't that wonderful? Now, God has already extended from the beginning of the world his circle of relationship to everybody. But now it seems that God is doing a wonderful ministry among these wonderful people of God, the gypsy people. But when you read the story of the Samaritan, you can realize that actually the Jesus' target and plan to extend the circle of our relationship does not stop to those who are helpless, or second, to those who are not part of the same ethnic group to which we belong. But Jesus Christ has said to the expert in law, you should do like the Samaritan. Now, when Jesus Christ is asking you to do something you cannot do, if you do not love Jesus. So at the end of the story, we are asked, and that's the purpose of the entire Gospel of Luke, to extend the circle of our relationship and entail helpless other people from other ethnic groups, but most important, to extend the circle of our relationship to Jesus Christ, to the God himself, and let him have the main part, the central part of our circle. Now, can you understand, if we extend the circle of our relationship to God and include God in the circle of our relationship, and God is infinite, how big should be our circle? How large should be our love? If God is infinite in passion, is infinite in love, in mercy, then our circle, if we want to include Jesus Christ in it, then we really have a big circle of relationship. So Jesus Christ and the author of the Gospel of Luke is advising us to love God. Actually, that's what Jesus asked from the expert in law. You should love God and your neighbor. But how can we love Jesus Christ? Well, there are only two reasons, but very important. We can love God because we realize finally that we are helpless. We are helpless on the side of the road. And God, Jesus Christ, has paid attention to our situation. And with his love, he hasn't avoided us, but he stopped beside us. He looked directly to our problems, regardless if that they are physical or spiritual. But the main thing that Jesus was looking at was our soul, our relationship to God. And when he saw that we are helpless spiritually, he has done a wonderful thing for all of us. He gave his only, God gave his only begotten Son, and Christ died for all of us. Now, we are so helpless, then we will never be able to pay him back. But that doesn't matter. Jesus loves us as we are. Isn't that a big reason to love God? We are helpless. We can't pay for God, to God, for everything he has done to us through Jesus Christ. But God still loves us. He wants to be in a strong and close relationship with us. Second, not only that we are helpless, but we are so different than him. He is holy. We are sinners. But doesn't matter. God loves us, despite the fact that we do so many wrong things, because the power of Jesus' blood has that rule and is so efficient that he can clean our souls of all our sins. Now, this is the second reason. Although we are so different than God, God extended his circle of relation, his love, and included us in his love. What does it mean that God loves us? Well, that's a very important question. It leads us on the path of salvation. When God loves us, when you receive God's love, his love will change you. God, Jesus Christ, has the power to not only love you, but to change you radically. These two things come together. When he loves you, he will change you. When God loved this world, he changed this world. And the world is not anymore the same, because God really loves us. One day, a policeman drew near one of our missionaries, asking him the following question. What have you done with the gypsies in this community? Because before you came here, there was no weekend without beating, fighting, alcohol, and scandal. What have you done with them? We would come to them, and no matter what we told them, they stayed the same. No change. We even put some of them in prison. Neither us nor the prison could change them. What have you done with them? Because since when you came to, when you have come, they do not steal anymore. They do not fight anymore. And there is no weekend without gathering in peace, harmony, and singing. The missionary said, Mr. Policeman, yes, the change in their community is real. But it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. We have done nothing, but Jesus Christ has done everything. He has the power to change our lives. He changed their life. Now, when we receive God's love, his love will change us. He has that power. That's why it's so important to extend the circle of our relationship to God. Because when we include God in our lives, the circle of our relationship will be so big, then we will be able to love our neighbors. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us love Jesus Christ, and we will be loving each other. Amen.